Well, good morning, friends and brethren. So very good to see you. We have several visitors here today. We're especially glad to have you with us. Well, I've had a couple of men on standby today in case my voice just gives out, but we made it through the first hour okay. Well, I guess everybody remembered to do it. You know, set your clocks ahead. Last night was the big night. I somehow dread the springing forward more than I do the going backwards just because of the sleep thing. But I do kind of like daylight savings times better. I just wish we'd stay there. It's the going back and forth. It'll take me 2 weeks to get my body clock adjusted. I mean, setting the clocks up, it's easy. It's learning how to sleep the right hours again is the problem for me. But using our time wisely is a good thing, and we certainly don't need to waste our time in any way. A long time ago, it was Ben Franklin that wrote, "Do you love life? Then do not squander time, for it is the stuff life is made of." And I've thought about that a lot of times and tried to use that in my mind, trying to use time wisely. I don't like to waste time. But I have to admit that I'm not always necessarily precise about it. I don't like being late, but you've probably noticed I don't usually show up any place real early. There's too many other things to be done, and so I kind of just show up on time most of the time. And if you want to be on time, you've got to first get your watch set precisely. That does have to be set right if you have any hope of being on time. My dad is real particular about time. I think I've told you that before. In fact, he'll just get under your skin about it. Because if you ask me what time it is, and it's like, you know, 11:17, let's say, I'll say, "Oh, it's about a quarter after 11. And that works pretty well for me. But my dad would say, "Well, let's see, it's 11:17 and coming up 30 seconds. "Really? We've got it. Isn't that right? We've got to keep track of seconds now?" I mean, I know there are times that seconds count, but not always and not that often. When I was growing up, you know, about 100 years ago, you know, at noon, if you were outside, you could hear the siren go off on Van Buren Township Fire Station. It was about 4 miles away. You couldn't hear it real loud, but you could hear it. And that's how they called the firefighters when there was a fire. But it went off at 12 o'clock. I don't know if it would meet my dad's standard, and I never checked to see if it was exactly at 12, but you knew it was about dinner time when that thing went off. A friend of mine, Steve Klein, you know Steve Klein, related a story that I thought was interesting. And he wrote, he said, several years ago it was reported that a telephone operator in a town on Cape Cod received a call every morning asking for the correct time. And finally, overcome by curiosity, she asked the inquirer, "Would you mind telling me why you call every morning and ask for the correct time?" And he said, "Sure, I'll tell you." And kind of in a proud way says, "Well, I have to have the exact time because I'm the man that blows the whistle at 12 o'clock. And she said, "Well, that's interesting." She said, "Because every day at the stroke of noon, we set our clocks by the whistle." You know, it's important that we have an understanding of correct time. I get that. And the standard has to be right. We can look on our phones nowadays and we can get atomic time. That's how I set my watch. And we have some assurity that that's the right time. But really, in a spiritual way, in a greater concern to us is finding the right standard. And I'm not talking about time. Seeking and finding the right spiritual standard is an important thing to do. And there are many who will say, "Well, come over here and be a part of our church," you know, and many will just follow along and go even without considering what the doctrine is and what they are following. And there are some who say about their church, you know, "This is the right way," or even that "this is the only way," even without considering what the real standard is for the right way. Well, it's good to follow the examples of others, but it's only good to follow the examples of others if those if they are setting examples that are set by the correct standard. In Philippians chapter 3, I'd like you to go with me. Philippians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul had something to say about this. No, he's not talking about setting our watch. He's not talking about time in that way. We're talking about setting the right standard. In Philippians chapter 3, he has already talked about the idea of having our eyes set toward the goal, and that this was something that he was doing. He was pressing on, even though sometimes he had not attained all that he thinks he should be. He was still pressing on to the goal. In verse 16, getting into this, in fact, let's begin at verse 15. He says, therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Brethren, be joined in following my example. Note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. Well, his call to the brethren was to walk in the same way, to be of the same mind, but that could only happen if they were following the same rule. Well, that's what he had delivered. And that's part of what he was trying to say throughout the letter. That here's what's been delivered. There is a standard that's been set. We can understand that in so many ways. You know, I rummaged through my desk and I found this ruler. I don't think anybody even uses rulers anymore. Do you use rulers in school anymore? You ever see a ruler before? I'm hoping, you know, I'm not sure what happens in schools these days. But, you know, we understand that's a pattern right there. That it is the rule. Well, what's 1 foot? Right there. That's 1 foot. Let me take a drink here. If you go to the store and you buy a ruler, it's going to be just like this one. It's going to be the same length. And an inch is an inch is an inch. And a foot is a foot. Because it's all set by the same rule. I'm not sure who set the rule. I'm not sure how that all came about. I'm sure there's a story behind that, but I don't know what it is. But I know that a foot is a foot, and that that's the standard. And when it comes to spiritual things, there's a standard. And when Paul was saying that we need to walk by the same rule, that was the standard that has been delivered. Would you go with me and turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 4? Paul's call to brethren to walk of the same mind and to be of the same rule and to follow me says something about the standard that has been set. And that standard wasn't about Paul. It really wasn't. It was about Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and let's begin reading at verse 14. I do not write these things to shame you, but as my beloved children, I warn you. For though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. And I urge you to follow me. For this reason I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach everywhere in every church. The standard. We read so much by the Apostle Paul in the New Testament, we can get confused and think that he is the standard, but not at all. He knew he wasn't the standard. He was a deliverer of the message of the one who has given the standard. In chapter 11, verse 1, he said, be followers of me just as I also am of Christ. And that kind of puts some things in perspective, that it is Christ who is that standard. And so to follow the examples of others without even being aware of what the standard is, or those who follow others who don't know what the standard is not a good thing to do. It's not a smart thing to do. And it seems like Scripture deals with that very idea. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I see verse 12 we begin. For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some who commend themselves, but they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. But we will not boast beyond measure, but within the limits of the sphere which God appointed us, a sphere reaching even to you. For we are not extending ourselves beyond our sphere, as though not reaching you, for we came even to you with the gospel of Christ, not boasting of things beyond measure, that is, in other men's labors, but having hope that as your faith is increased, we shall be greatly enlarged by you in the sphere to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, and not to boast in another man's sphere of accomplishment. But he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. For not he who commends himself is approved, but whom the Lord commends. I like the passage in that it becomes very clear to us what or who is the standard. It's easy for us to measure ourselves by each other. Well, that's only good if one's living by the standard. And when we hear people talk about their church and the good things that their church is doing, and many seemingly want to follow in some of those things, it should concern us. Because where's the standard? And when we say there are good, even among us, if we say there's good things happening in this church, by whose account? Is that by ours? Or is it by the one who sets the standard? It makes a difference, and it's a tremendous difference, because the standard is Christ and His Word. It was Jesus who said so very simply, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. John 14 and in verse 6. We have to be willing to live and to set our lives by the right standard. It's like setting your watch. We can set it on the right time and we could set it on the wrong time. Every one of us has a personal standard that we take with us everywhere, that which we live by. And we can choose to follow the standard that's right, or we can choose not to. There is, if we could say it this way, an inner standard within us, our conscience. Our conscience can be so helpful to keep us from doing things we shouldn't. Our conscience can be helpful to encourage us to do what's right. But it can only help us if it's set to the right standard. Like a wristwatch that we check through the day to see if we are on time or not. Well, our conscience can be used to keep us on track, to make sure that we are doing what we should do. But we can as well set our conscience to the wrong standard. I used to hear this more than I do now. People would say, well, just let your conscience be your guide. Well, that all depends. What is your conscience set to? If our conscience is set to the wrong standard, don't follow it. It's wrong. It'll take us the wrong way. And so we're back to the standard. We've talked a lot about the Apostle Paul in our classes on Sunday and Wednesday, who was first known as Saul of Tarsus. He was a blasphemer. He was a persecutor of the Jews. Look at a couple of passages here with me. We're going to the book of Acts, chapter 23. Acts chapter 23. And we look at what he has to say before the Jewish leaders. He's giving some defense. Not defense about some things he's did. He's just saying, here's what happened. We remember him as being that persecutor of the Jews. Acts 23, verse 1. And I, Paul, looking earnestly at the council, said, Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day. But then, you know, he goes on to recount some things that he was doing before he became a Christian that was against Christ. But he did it in good conscience. You see, our conscience can be a good guide if we're set to the right standard. But our conscience might also encourage us to do things that we shouldn't do. If we turn a couple of chapters over, chapter 26, we're in Caesarea, and it's Paul standing before Agrippa. And in his defense there, he says in verse 9, "Indeed, I myself thought I must do many things contrary to the name of Jesus Christ." Indeed, he did. He did many things contrary to the Lord. And just because his conscience told him that it was right, didn't make it right. It was aligned to the wrong standard. And ignorance is not going to be a good excuse. Ignorance is not going to excuse us on the day we stand before the Lord. And what are we going to say? Well, I did what I did in good conscience, but we were not doing the will of the Lord. You see, there is an inner standard or conscience within us. It can be helpful or it'll hurt us, depending on what it is set. And so we have to set our lives by the right standard. Even as a church, we have to set our church clock sometimes. No, I don't mean the one in back, you know, but our church clock is as in a metaphor. You know, sometimes churches set their collective conscience on an uncertain standard, something different than what the Lord tells us. If we go back to ancient Israel, there's some examples or some lessons to be learned from them. In the days of the judges, you remember when Israel pleaded to have their own king, they rejected Samuel as their judge. And in 1 Samuel 8 and verse 5 said, "We want to have a king like all the nations." They looked at the nations around them and how they were ruled by a king and said, "We want to be like them," seemingly ignoring the fact that they had a king, Jehovah God, and that they rejected him. And so as a group of people, they were rejecting God as judge, or rejecting the God that, or the judge that God had set up for them, Samuel. Looking at what other nations were doing, that was the standard to them. And you could say in that metaphor that they set their clock by what the surrounding nations were doing. They accepted the standard of the world. And in doing so, they rejected the Lord. And that's certainly the way the Lord looked at it. Because in verse 7 of 1 Samuel 8, the Lord said to Samuel, "It is not you that they have rejected, but they have rejected me as their king." You know, that's a powerful statement. I mean, here the Lord is saying to his people, basically, "I see that you have rejected me." And if we're not careful, we can do the same thing. We can reject the Lord. If we refuse to follow him, we refuse to follow the standard that he has placed before us. And many churches today have their programs set up to align themselves well with what the world wants and what the world thinks they should do. Denominations for years and years have set before themselves standards of holidays to be kept and praise teams and children's church and instrumental music and worship and women's roles that would be very different than what we see in Scripture. And there's been a distinction between what the Lord's church will do and should do and what the world has done. But you know, it seems to me in a lot of places that is coming closer and closer together. Because even among the Lord's body, there are those who are looking out and saying, "We want to be like them. We want a king like the other nations." And in doing so, it's not so much trying to be like the other church as it is rejecting God. Because he is the one who sets the standard. Jesus, in talking to the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 15, said it so simply, "In vain they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Jesus was plowing no new ground with that statement. Isaiah had said it a long time before. And it still works today. It still applies today. Because in vain, many people do worship, not knowing or understanding, in many cases, not even caring what the Lord has to say about the standard. Somewhere for just about anything, there is a standard of what something should be. There's a standard of right or wrong, and it comes from the Lord. There's a standard of what we should do and what we should be in worship to Him and in service to Him. And the standard is not written in conferences where men sit and decide what those things should be. But the Lord has given us those things in His Word, so that we can know and understand, and we can choose to submit. We can set our clock, so to speak, by what God says. And it's only then, if we do that, that He can look at us and He can say that we are His children. And I think that's what we want. I can't imagine why you would be here today if that's not what you want. That we want to be the people of God. And yet even today there may be someone who still needs to make some choices and decisions in your life. Either to become a child of God, having your sins washed away in baptism, or a child of God who knows what the standard says, but has veered from that. The Lord's still calling us back. We can still be His followers. Will you? Would you come as we stand and sing?